In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death, your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Splendor and majesty are before him.
We will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, all nations.
Exalt him, all peoples.
For great is his steadfast love toward us.
And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord.
Glory be.
Splendor and majesty are before him.
We will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
We pray. O Lord, you have called us to enter your kingdom through the narrow door. Guide us by your word and spirit, and lead us now and always into the feast of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our Old Testament reading this morning is taken from the book of Isaiah, the 66th chapter, beginning with the 18th verse. For I know their works and their thoughts, and the time is coming to gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and shall see my glory, and I will set a sign among them, and from them I will send survivors into the nations of Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, who draw the bow to Tubal and Javan, to the coastlands afar off, that they have not heard my fame or seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among the nations, and they shall bring all your brothers from all the nations as an offering to the Lord on horses and in chariots and in litters and on mules and dromedaries to my holy mountain Jerusalem, says the Lord. Just as the Israelites bring their grain offering in a clean vessel to the house of the Lord, and some of them also I will take for priests and Levites, says the Lord. For as the new heavens and the new earth that I make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your offspring and your name remain. From the new moon to new moon, from Sabbath to Sabbath, all flesh shall come to worship before me, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Fear the Lord, you his saints.
For those who fear him lack nothing.
Many are the afflictions of the righteous.
But the Lord delivers him out
of them. The epistle taken from the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, beginning with the 4th verse. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation and addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the ones he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not also much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with everyone, and for holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled, that no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessings, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and a sound of a trumpet and a voice of words made the hearers beg that no further messages are spoken to them, for they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. Jesus went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And someone said to him, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" And he said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside to knock at the door, 'Lord, open to us,' then he will answer you, 'I do not know where you come from.' Then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence. You taught in our streets.' But he will say, 'I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves cast out. And people will come from east and west and from the north and south and recline at table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last." This is the gospel of the Lord. We speak our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I
Please be seated. From Luke chapter 13, Jesus went through the towns and villages teaching as he went, and always pressing on toward Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, will only a few be saved?" He replied, "Work hard to enter the narrow door to God's kingdom, for many will try to enter, but will fail. When the master of the house has locked the door, it will be too late." Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's been a few years ago. My wife and I toured the Tower of London. You know, that's where the crown jewels are incarcerated in an upper room. And you can see them, but you can't touch them. You know, the history of that building is absolutely fascinating. It started out as a palace. Royalty lived there many generations. But through time, as England grew and prospered, it was too small. And so they built bigger and better palaces. And the Tower of London was then transformed into a prison. Yeah, it was for deposed royalty, those who met with the disfavor of the king, and for political prisoners and criminals who are condemned to death, usually by beheading. And while a prison, they had built a very big, thick wall around it and a deep moat. And there was only one way in to the Tower of London, and that was through an iron gate that entered through the moat, kind of like in the movies. It was our tour guide who suggested that very well may be the first and most personal original one-way street. Prisoners came in. They did not come back out. Oh, there were some famous ones. You might remember Anne Boleyn. She couldn't produce a male heir for King Henry VIII. So he imprisoned her in the Tower and eventually beheaded her. A bit rash, but then the boy was playful. You know, Jerusalem had a similar kind of history, a transitional history. It started out as the city of David. It was a glorious place. It was the capital of the full kingdom of Israel. It was God's city, the city of David. But it transitioned much like the tower, and it became the final stop for many prophets and even apostles by the time Jesus walked the streets. John the Baptist closed out the Old Testament and ushered in the New Testament, proclaiming, "Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's not coming, it's here." And, well, we all remember John's story. It didn't end well for him either. Jesus knew that Jerusalem was going to be a one-way trip for him, too. Yet he had set his face. He had determined to go to Jerusalem to fulfill the task he was born to fulfill. Before there was creation, before there was sin, God had a plan to bring people back to the kingdom of God. And Jesus knew this was going to be a one-way trip. He was going to be the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. The gospel, from before creation, that was God's plan. That was the key to the kingdom of God. And by going to Jerusalem, Jesus glorified the Father, recognized and allowed God to fulfill the reason for the gospel. And God glorified Jesus by allowing him to fulfill that unique task that only he was qualified to teach or to fill. You see, before creation, before sin, there was salvation. Before man rebelled against God, sinned, fell short of the glory, or however you want to say it, God would have to provide the righteousness. He would have to bring the key for man's salvation. St. Paul wrote in Romans, "The wages of sin is death." That is what we earn, what we deserve. I don't understand all this crying about justice. I want justice. No, you don't. You want mercy. You want forgiveness. You want restoration. The removal of sin, not what you earn, not the wages. When God set the standard for entering the kingdom of God, he set the bar so high, none of us could make it on our own. Be perfect, for I, the Lord your God, am perfect. Be holy, as the Lord your God is holy. Trying my very best, I have no idea what perfect looks like. I have no idea what holiness, perfect holiness, feels like. Romans says all have sinned, all fall short of the glory of God. Yes, it's true. All have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. Sin is the fatal flaw in the fabric of humanity. Sin is doing what God says don't do, or not doing what God says do. Someone asked Jesus while he was out among the people, "Lord, will only a few be saved?" He was looking for a number, I think. But Jesus answered the question, "How will anyone be saved? How would even one be saved on their own merits?" Who really qualifies for the kingdom? Only Jesus. Jesus alone is worthy to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ is the only way back to where God rules in heaven and on earth. Jesus is truly the only one-way street into the kingdom of God. Each one of us is unique. We're different from one another. And that's okay. That's the way God did it. But we all fall into this category of all have sinned. All fall short. So sin has touched us differently, each of us. Simply to say, my sins are my sins. Your sins are your sins. You can't suffer for my sins. I can't suffer for your sins. God, on the other hand, can take care of all sin. However, the wages of sin have touched you personally. They may be different ways, but there's one salvation, one Savior, one who can fix the problem, truly fix it. 1 John says if we say we have no sin, we're just kidding ourselves. And we're not filled with the truth if we suggest that. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, as none of us clearly on our own qualify for the kingdom, in Jesus Christ, you are perfect. Perfected. Kind of hard to believe, isn't it? God didn't just say you're perfect. He made you perfect. He didn't just say you're qualified for the kingdom. He made you qualified for the kingdom. He qualified you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but has everlasting life. The sickness may be different, but we know we all need the same great physician. We all need Jesus. He lived the life that God intended us to live, and he did it perfectly. And God placed our sin, our imperfections, on his Son, Jesus, who died in our place that we might have full pardon for sin and the assurance of everlasting life. Jesus is the one-way street into the kingdom of God. Even identified himself, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Now, we're probably all, as longtime Lutherans, pretty familiar with the Reformation slogan, grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone, as revealed in Scripture alone. But our salvation, while God's gift, is never alone. As St. Paul records in Romans chapter 9, verse 16, salvation does not depend on our desire or our effort, but it does depend on God's mercy, God's generous loving kindness. Not justice, but mercy. Grace is never alone. It's always accompanied by good works. It flows as thank you for a gift. And it shows up in everything that we do, even if we don't do it perfectly, but we do to glorify God. It shows up in works. That's why Jesus said, work hard to enter the narrow door, the one way into God's kingdom. For many will try to enter it by means of their own imagination, their own guesswork, but they will fail. And when is this all taking place? Well, we can say it took place about 2,000 years ago, 20,000 years ago, however many years ago. It took place on Calvary. And now Jesus says to us, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his purpose. You see, God has a purpose for forgiving you. He wants you in the kingdom. The Lord's Prayer includes petitions like, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Jesus was teaching us to recognize we have a job. And we pray, God, do your thing so that we can do your thing. So that we can be and do that which glorifies the Father and loves our neighbor. Now, the fancy Latin word is sanctification. You have probably heard it at some time or another. It is literally to make holy, to lift up, to make perfect, righteous, set apart for God's purpose. Jesus set apart his life for God's purpose and was crucified on a cross for us. And he did it so that you and I can be different. He made a difference for us to be different. So be different from the unbelieving world around us. Hebrews 12 describes Jesus as the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. It's what we do, whatever and whenever we do it, to confess our faith in Jesus Christ, to say, thank you, Father, for all you've done. In 1 Corinthians 6, you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. That's already taken place. You're already qualified. You're already in where God is King, the kingdom of God. So Jesus said, work hard to enter the narrow door into God's kingdom. Just remember who provides the perfection. God does. And what do we bring? Persistence. Try. Fail, maybe. Try again. Harder. More carefully. He provides the perfection. We provide persistence. Keep on keeping on. We are saints by grace for God's purpose, saved to be workers in the kingdom, fighting sin in the world, which is a pretty tough job. But just as tough and just as important to fight sin within ourselves. Jesus took on the hard and hard work, and he replaced the good in good works. Work hard. God loves you. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, grant us repentant faith to strive to enter ever more deeply into your blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation. By the witness of your saints, Gather many from the very corners of this world to enter your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Eternal Lord, you have found your church and promised that she will remain forever. Bolster her confidence in your world and guide her pastors in paths of righteousness, that she would declare your glory among all nations. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have called fathers to bring up their children in your fear and love. Sanctify and sustain them through your word, that they would lovingly discipline their children and show forth your own divine care for your baptized children. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, grant wisdom, integrity, and skill to our President, the Congress of the United States, our Governor, and all those in authority, that in the exercise of their lawful duties, justice would be maintained, the innocent defended, wickedness restrained, liberty upheld, and conscience respected. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you chasten those whom you love. Teach your fatherly love to those enduring the afflictions of this life. For all things come from your hand. Guard all who suffer in body and soul, and bring them through their trials. Lord, in your mercy. Divine host, in your holy presence, we recline at your table and receive the blood of your Son, which speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Let this blood of Christ thoroughly bless the earth of our created bodies and sanctify us completely to become a new holy land for this eternal dwelling. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, we give you thanks for all the saints who have gone before us. Grant that we would die to ourselves and enter with Christ into the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to join with all the angels in festal gatherings, to be numbered with the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, perfected in the righteousness of Christ and abiding forever in his new creation. Lord, in your mercy. To you, O Lord, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, be all glory, honor, worship, and praise now and even to the end of all ages. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should, at all times and in all places, give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death on a cross, risen from the dead. He has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord be merciful and give you his peace.